Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So the Christmas decorations are still up, might still be up at your house. You might have a very strict January 1 deadline. We used to have a very strict January 1 deadline, but Stacy now typically gets the 12 whole full days of Christmas, which ends tomorrow on what the Western Church calls Epiphany Sunday. Some places call it Three Kings Sunday, but it's the time we remember the wise men going to visit Jesus. Epiphany means revelation or manifestation, and so it's when we remember that appearing of the star that led these three wise men, these magi, these astrologers, to the infant Jesus in his home with his family. We know a little more about the Magi than the scriptures will tell us. We also know that they were volunteer firefighters because it says they came from a fire. Get it, Jim? Come on, help me out. I was debating on whether to use that one or not. Little firefighter humor. You can use that one at the firehouse this week. And they can look at you the same way everybody's looking at me right now. Oh, man. But it's Epiphany Sunday, so we're going to use that wise man scripture. I know most of you have probably heard that story before, so I'm hoping we can approach it with some fresh eyes and look at what it means for us when wise people still seek Jesus or still seek him. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 12. In the Pew Bibles in front of you, they're on page 783. They'll also be on the screens. But I invite you, if your help allows you, to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of the gospel this morning. Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed a star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where this Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for this child. And when you have found him, bring me word so I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God given for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. All right, so the firefighter joke didn't go over too well, so maybe you'll find this one a little bit better. But I saw this week that if these were wise women, these things would have happened. They would have asked for directions and been on time. They would have stayed and helped clean. And they would have brought practical gifts like diapers, wipes, and casseroles. Now all the women are laughing. I thought the firefighter joke was funnier, but today this is a familiar text, and we're going to see what it means to seek Christ and 2020, what it means for wise people to still seek Him. The first thing that we'll see is that it requires trust. That seeking requires trust. The wise men tell us that they see this star. We see it as early as verse 2 that they observe this star, and it even guides them to King Herod, and they trust that whatever they are experiencing is powerful enough, that it is real enough. They ask the king where the new king is. That's a pretty dangerous thing to do. Hey, king, there's this new king. Where is he? Well, of course Herod's going to be interested in where this new king is. But after their encounter with him, we see that the star continues to guide them to the infant King Jesus. Long journeys and lots of trust they placed in this star. So I want you to think for a minute, what do you trust when you travel? I thought it was funny last night. We were traveling down in a part of the state that we'd never really been to Somerville, but we were at a wedding last night, and multiple of us had these in our possession. And it's funny because we would all say, oh, I'll look it up. And the next thing you know, we would have multiple phones saying, you know, turn right here or make a U-turn. And some of them have the funniest accents now. And one of them told us to pull into the parking lot. The other one said, you have arrived at the car park. So no idea what was going on there. But we trust our GPS. They used to be the little boxes. Some of you still may use those. But now we'll plug something into our phone, and we trust a computer to tell us how to get somewhere. No idea whether it's true or not. But we trust it to get us there. We trust it because it's not failed us in the past. If you've ever been let down by a map or by directions, you're probably a little more leery. Sometimes it will tell you to turn right, and what you're looking for is actually on the left side of the road. The next time you use it, you're going to be a little more skeptical about it. Have you ever trusted other people's directions? See, we don't do that much anymore, but I can remember as a young, some of you are going, don't listen to them. But I can remember going into a gas station and asking for directions, and it was like it was part of their job. They should know how to tell you to get somewhere. And then, well, he said, go to the second stop sign, and there'd be a fence. We're going to turn right there. And then when you see the, you know, he said it was Larry's barn, but I don't know. We're going to turn left at Larry's barn. So you're driving looking for a barn. You see it. There's a man out front. You assume it's Larry. You turn. Y'all don't remember that? Come on. I'm one of the youngest ones here. Y'all better remember this. But exactly. But we trust so many different things. So as we enter this new year, as we seek to do these things, as we seek Christ in our new year, what are we going to place our trust in our faith journey? What star, what GPS are we going to allow to help guide us through the new year? See, that's the thing about spending time in prayer. That's the thing about reading scripture. It's the thing about coming to worship and being with other people. It's the thing, all those things, we learn to trust those things because over time they have helped us through some of life's difficulties. So then in 2020, when the uncertain times come, we know they've worked in the past, so they're surely going to work again. So seeking requires trust. We have to trust that God is guiding us and directing us. The second thing, that if we're going to be wise people and continue to seek Christ, that seeking will also require worship. That seeking will also require worship. Their journey's finally over. They have found what they've been looking for, and they are overwhelmed with joy. That joy leads them to go in and to kneel down before an infant child. Now, I want you to think about that. If I went and got one of the kids out of the nursery, right, a two-year-old, two-and-a-half-year-old, maybe three-year-old, it would feel pretty odd as people of stature and power to kneel before them, wouldn't it? That would be really weird. I mean, it would be almost just weird. I don't know any other word. It would just be awkward and something we would never do. Well, these wise men probably thought the same thing. And then when they show up and this star has stopped and there's the mother and there's the child, they still kneel because they experience something in his presence. We're also probably told by most historians, by most scholars, that these men were not Jews. They were pagans. But yet they still recognized that there was something powerful, there was something special about Jesus, and their pagan hearts broke when they stood before the king, and what they had to do was bow down and worship. If that happened to their heart, surely it should happen to ours as people who already love and follow Christ. There's a French proverb, and I think it's pretty true. It says, a good meal ought to begin with hunger. Have you ever thought about that? It's hard to enjoy a meal if you're not hungry. You know? But when you're hungry, just about anything will taste good. Have you ever said that before? At this point, I'll eat anything, right? Hunger is the key to a good meal. Hunger should also be the key to our effective worship, to passionate worship, to life-transforming, miracle-experiencing, getting set free from things in the new year type of worship. Our hunger for God, our hunger for more of Christ should drive us to a deep place of worship. A.W. Tozer once said this. He said, worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner a humbling but a delightful sense of admiring awe and astonishing wonder. And I wonder, as we seek Christ in this new year, as we pursue after Jesus, do we have a hunger? Do we have an awe? Or are we just so comfortable with the story that it's lost its power? The third thing that seeking requires that we see in our scripture today is it requires surrender. Surrender. I have famously, not so famously, but I have proclaimed several times, I will never surrender. Now that might have been a laser tag or a Nerf war or even my son putting me in what he thought was the perfect wrestling hold, and he was begging me to surrender, and I will never surrender. And to him, I probably never will, even as an old man. He'll just break my leg before I give up and let him win when my leg gets old and brittle like next year. Next week, yeah. But surrender is not something that our society focuses on. It's not something our society teaches us to do. But when it comes to Christ, this is what we're called to do. These wealthy men, we know they're wealthy because of the trip they made. We know that they had these expensive gifts, but they not only bow down to worship, but they do surrender these very expensive gifts. Some scholars will say that the gifts were worth so much that it's what the family actually sold off and they used to pay for their trip to Egypt. And that's how these gifts were actually used. And so I began wondering, in our seeking, in our pursuing, what will we surrender to Jesus? What gifts do we have this year that we will give to him? They need to be gifts of great value. They don't need to be gifts necessarily of great monetary value, but they should be the greatest valued gifts that we have. And I may be wrong, but I think starting with these three are a great idea. But we should surrender our hearts. We should surrender our hearts fully to God in this new year. That we should surrender our minds. I know some of us, we read these stories and it's hard to focus, but we can learn a little more about God this year, don't you think? Don't you think there's a little more we can learn about Christ? Some of you tell me, and I love when you tell me this because it's a reminder for me, is that when you hear Scripture, you might have heard it for the 400th time in your life, but the Holy Spirit can bring something new out of it. And we need to keep giving our hearts and our minds to Christ, but most importantly, I think we need to surrender our lives as we continue to seek Him as wise people in this new year. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for us as a church. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.